What an honor and a privilege it is to be here today. It's always exciting to be to come back to our alma mater and just be able to see what the Lord is doing here. It is a not as intimidating as it was when I preached as a senior, but still some the same. What a blessing to see really just some of the testimonies that we've seen and heard today, and just a delight to see God's hand of blessing still here at Ambassador Baptist College. Well, I'd like to preach for just a little bit today, and hopefully you'll listen for a little bit today. You know, I love to preach textually. I love to always have my points right there in the text, but sometimes God doesn't give us... Oh, excuse me for a second. That's Anchors Away, by the way. Hello? Sorry, it's kind of important. Yes? John, do your socks match your tie today? No, I was wrong on that. All right, no, I'm sorry, Dr. Beal. I've got to preach chapel. All right, thank you. Sorry about that. You know what they say is that if you don't get a picture of it, it never really happened. All right. I got a new app for my phone. And when you send it, it sends it to Twitter automatically. It sends it to Facebook, and it sends it to your Instagram account. And so every time I push send on that, it makes me an insta-twit face. I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm going to tell you, these contraptions, aren't they incredible? Now, this phone right here has over 100,000 times the processing power of the computer that landed the spaceship Apollo on the moon. That computer weighed 70 pounds, and this one you can take with you wherever you go, and you do. These phones are incredibly intuitive, aren't they? As a matter of fact, according to a recent study, 92% of babies used a mobile device before their very first birthday. That's staggering to me. Nearly 35% have had their own mobile device since the age of 2, and that number jumps up to 75% by the time children turn 4. You're probably the first generation that can never remember not having phones with you at all times, in all places, everywhere. They're ubiquitous. They are everywhere. My question to you this morning is, just because they're easy to use, because they're intuitive, does that mean that we should spend as much time on them as we seem to? Study after study shows the ill effects of a constant barrage that our technology is having in our lives. The technology that you are exposed to today is vying for your affection and your attention. My question to you this morning is, are you going to give it to them? Some of these studies are pretty phenomenal to see the effects that it has on the human body. Our technology that we use link heavy computer and mobile phone use to more sleep deficit or disturbances. Some studies have said that the blue light from digital devices suppress the sleep-promoting hormone melatonin, keeping us from having a restful sleep. But our technology makers, aware that any bad science will prevent us from using it, have put on blue light filters, so no fear of losing sleep now, right? I read another report that says that 13 to 16-year-olds in the UK who needed glasses nearly doubled over the past 7 years, from 20% to 35% in 2018. Why is that? They were diagnosed as being myopic or short-sighted. And researchers now believe that significant increase in eye problems among young people is likely linked to excessive time spent staring at screens. Leads to eye strain, short-sightedness, blurred vision. In fact, the study also found that the average 13 to 16-year-old spends around 26 hours per week staring at a screen of some sort. Smartphone, video games, watching TV, whatever it might be. That's staggering. That's one day a week dedicated to your screen. But you know, there's been also some other ramifications, not just physical ramifications, but I think about the lack of social skills, the lack of development in children and young people, a failure to know how to communicate with other human beings face to face. By the way, all those things are needed for ministry. But I'll tell you this, technology also has another dark side. Social media, video games, apps produce, all those different things produce a neurochemical called dopamine when you use them. This feel-good hormone is a part of the brain's pleasure and reward circuitry. And when you cross, it's just like when you cross something off your to-do list. You get excited, it motivates you to, and by the way, that's God's design. That helps us to get up, go out, kill something, and drag it back home, okay? But playing video games or getting a like or a retweet turns on similar brain regions in our head, and it releases those same chemicals, creating what some medical doctors have described as a dopamine loop, the same loop as those linked to cravings for drugs and gambling. And every time we see a new post, we get a reaction to ours or something that we get to the next level on a video game, we get that it's like a hit of brain candy. That's not by accident. Programmers work very hard and are paid handsome salaries behind the screens to keep you coming back for more. I'm going to give you one or two examples that were detailed by a former Google employee that has rocked the programming world by exposing these mind hacks. He states that if you've ever logged on to Twitter, there is a 1 to 3 second delay to tell how many notifications you have, and that delay is intentional. Similar to slot machines that are spinning, there are a few seconds that allow anticipation to build. There is a greater reward feeling when it finally does display, embedding in your mind a reward for checking Twitter. Now, what is the cost to check Twitter? Financially, it's free. And so if you can get that feeling every time you check your phone, what do you think your natural response is going to do several times throughout the day? You're going to check your Twitter feed. Well, and for you, it might not be Twitter. It might be Facebook. It might be a number of different things or an app or whatever it might be. But I'm telling you, they are doing this and they are manipulating us for the purpose of financial gain. But not for us, for them. This reward pattern is called a variable reward schedule, and it's optimized to keep you engaged, as much as possible. For any company that makes its money off of advertising, do not think for one moment that that app or game is free. You see, those advertisements that they're selling you, then they are motivated to do what? Keep you on that app as long as possible and coming back as often as possible. They're maximizing their profit and they are maximizing the lack of time that you have for other things. These multi-billion dollar companies are spending millions of dollars to grab our attention and keep it. And what they do, as I said, is on purpose and not by accident. The notifications, the emails, the reminders, the shares, the tagging, the retweets, the follows, it's all an in-app strategy that's geared at bringing you back to their table over and over and over and over again. And the problem is we don't even realize it. We look around and we see everybody else is doing it, and we come to the conclusion this must be normalcy. My friends, this morning I want to tell you it is not normal. And it is not healthy physically or spiritually. I'm not going to have you turn here. We're going to turn to 1 Corinthians in just a moment. But I was thinking about Facebook. I don't have an account. I think our family does, but we deactivated that sometime, just realizing that it can be a vortex of time, a black hole. But I was thinking about this, how that once you learn and understand how to use this technology, it allows you to be idle. Going from wall to wall, that's my understanding of what a Facebook feed is, a coalition of other people's walls. And as you scroll through, you're looking at people that are uttering and doing silly things, allowing you to neglect important things, and it keeps you busy in other people's affairs that we can go and then tell other people about. I'm going to tell you something. That sounds an awful lot like a warning that Paul gave to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:13. And withal, they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idlers, but tattlers. That word tattler carries with it the idea of uttering or doing silly things. Also, and busybodies. That's neglecting important things, and it keeps us busy with other people's affairs, speaking things which they ought not. Now, I've spent a pretty large portion of my message already on this introduction. I've tried to prepare you to receive an answer to a problem you may not have even known existed. I've given you a problem that is recognizable by secular science. It's recognizable, if you're honest with yourself, in your very own experience. And absolutely most important is God's warning in His Word. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I'm just giving you one avenue that he is devouring Christians by the multitudes. I want you to be sober. I want you to be vigilant. I want you to be aware. Because your first impulse is to immediately minimize what I have told you this morning. And what I fear worse is that you'll see the need, but you will say everybody else needs it, not me. What I'm going to encourage you is, as we talk this morning, to allow the Holy Spirit of God to reveal in your life whether or not you're handling technology in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Don't worry about the guy or the girl down the pew. I'm asking about your technology use. Now listen, you might be surprised to hear me say that I'm not telling you that social media or technology is inherently sinful. It's not. What I am saying is that the way we use it and abuse it is. I want to give you three principles this morning that's going to help you identify where you are on your use of technology and where you need to be. The first principle is the principle of domination. You can turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 6:12. 1 Corinthians 6:12. It's a very familiar verse, I think, for most of you. The Bible says, "All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient." That word expedient is sumfer, it's a help, that which confers a benefit. Is it profitable? Is it useful? Paul goes on to say, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That word power, exosio, to have the right of control. To have the right or the power over something or someone. And the idea is that nothing is going to have the right to control my life. Not video games, not Facebook, not social media, not endless YouTube videos, not pornography, not drugs, not alcohol, not the Cartoon Network. Whatever it is, we've become a society of extremes. What's dominating your life? It's been said that we check our devices upwards towards 150 times a day. That's an average, so maybe some of you check it only 50 times. But that means somewhere there's somebody checking it 200 times. That comes out to almost 55,000 checks a year. That's not how often we're on it, but that is how often we are preoccupied with our device. The truth is, we have a problem with phone addiction in our country. And I'm not sure there's a big difference in the church as there is out of the church. Oh, the content may be different, but the time spent or wasted is not. Let me ask you today, is there ever a day that goes by that you're without your phone? When you're running out of battery, is your first thought, where's my charger? How far away am I? Do any of the people I'm with have a charger? Are you on your phone in social settings? People are talking and you're checking? Or you're talking to somebody else where somebody's trying to talk to you? I'm going to tell you, that's a big problem. It's not just rude. It shows that there is a deficiency in your ability to have a face-to-face conversation. Let me ask you this. If you leave your phone, let me ask you this first. Are you on your device when you should be doing other things? The question I was about to ask you is, if you leave your phone in your dorm room or at home, do you turn around to go get it, even if you know it's going to make you late? The answer to that is, of course not, because I never leave my phone. We might lose our keys, misplace our homework. There's a lot of things that we misplace. But if it's ever the phone, everything stops. There's a hint of panic that begins to set in, and it grows until we find our phone, and it's almost as if there's a sigh of relief and everything in the world is rainbows and unicorns. I'd like to ask you to be honest with God. There was a poll given of teenagers. I realize most of you are at the tail end of your teens or already into your 20s. But teenagers today were given a poll. 50% readily admitted that they were addicted to their phone. And the other 50 were lying. No, I'm just kidding. What about you, young person? Is that little device you carry around your master, is it dominating your life without even you realizing it? None of us would say yes out loud and stand up and say, I've got a problem. But I'm asking you to look at your life and the reality of the time that you spend on your devices and ask God to help you to see if you are being dominated by your technology. How many hours of wasted time on useless apps do we find ourselves losing? Do you find yourselves reaching for your phone when you don't know what else to do? I call it borophobia. We're afraid of being bored. We're afraid to be left alone with our own thoughts. The principle of domination is simple. Look at your life and see what, if anything, is dominating your time. It doesn't have to be technology, although that's what the Lord led me to focus in on this morning. But we have a lot of excess in this country. And if there's anything that is dominating your life, Paul says, I don't want any part of it. I heard break is coming up. I realize because of the constraints that you have here, they help you to have character. They're training you how to control those impulses. But when you think about time at home, does that mean you're excited because you can be reunited with your phone and your Facebook and your Instagram? When you can choose to spend time like you want to, does that mean your vacation is just more phone time for you? That's the principle of domination. It's scary to think that we can be dominated without even realizing it. But I'm telling you, remember what I said about the developers. It's not by accident. They're making money from manipulating our choices. The next principle I want to give you is the principle of moderation. We've seen the principle of domination. I want you to see the principle of moderation. Two aspects of moderation that I'd like you to see this morning. First of all, is the avoidance of excess or extremes. That's the dictionary definition of moderation. To avoid those things that are going to absolutely take us to the edge and an extreme time spent on any one thing is unhealthy. In Ephesians 5:18, we are commanded, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I know that's a text that we love to use against drinking, and rightly so. By the way, I want to say clearly, God's against alcohol. But if you look at that verse, if we look at it a little closer, I think what you're going to see is that there's found in here a command not to be in excess, and drinking is an example. When we are in excess, then there is a quenching of the Spirit. Look what he says. He says, don't be drunk with wine, because in alcohol is found excess. But instead of being in excess, rather be filled with the Spirit. Now, young people, I'm going to ask you a question. Be honest with yourself. When you zone out and you go into the zone and you wake up an hour later and you walk away from that tablet or that phone or that computer and you think to yourself, how do I feel? You feel awful. Why is that? Because you are quenching the Spirit in your excess. The word translated, excess, esotia, carries the meaning of dissipation or the squandering of money, energy, or resources. Long hours wasted on technology is a dissipation of your energy and resources. That is what excess is. Now, while I'm mainly talking about technology, as I keep mentioning, it can be any area of your life that is unbalanced. If you're a hunter, you can do it. You can't do it without the latest equipment. Or a golfer, you've got to have the latest and greatest of whatever it is, or whatever it might be that you are. Now listen, I'm not against any of those things. But there's a balance to our life. And we are so far teetered over on one side, we can't even see what the balance is oftentimes, because we think this is normal. When we run into an area of our life, and we realize and we see an imbalance, when the resources of time, treasure, and talent are being squandered, and other important areas of our life are being neglected, then we come to the place in our life where we need to put some self-restraint and controls in place. If we do not have the ability to, well, we'll talk about what happens when we don't have the ability to have the internal controls. Those are called external controls. But moderation is simply saying, listen, I'm not saying these things are bad, so I'm going to put some limitations on how much time I'm going to invest. Please note the sarcasm meter is really pegged over there when I say invest, all right? In my social media account, or texting, or IMing. I'm going to challenge you, the next time you think about texting somebody, either call them or go find them and have a conversation. But you need to put some safeguards in place in your life. Something to counter the brain candy dispensers that are sitting behind your screen. I don't think I could handle Facebook. That's why I don't have an account. Let me just be transparent. I like dopamine. So do you, by the way. I like to-do lists. I like better when I cross them off. Get up, get dressed. Those are two things right at the beginning of the day, all right? But let me explain the way that these work. If we're not doing it in moderation, what happens is these artificial stimulants will begin to dull our dopamine receptors. And although we're putting it out there, our brain's not receiving it. And so what happens is you've got to go back for more and more and more. And by the way, then, crossing off something on your to-do list does not give you the same hit as getting the next level on your video game or getting 100 likes on something you put out on social media. It's kind of the difference between eating a strawberry when you're really hungry. That tastes good, right? If you're eating a strawberry after you've eaten a Snickers bar, it tastes bitter. These artificial stimulants will cause you to have a lack of motivation. And let's just face it. There's a reason there's people joking about 26 and 28-year-olds living in their parents' basement playing video games, because it's a reality in a big part of our world. We need to make sure that we are having and putting some controls in place. I recently read of an app that will help you to see how much time you're spending on your phone. Now, you may think it's hypocritical to say use technology to fight technology, but I'm telling you, I'm not saying technology is evil. I want to remind you time and time again, it's how we're using it and how long we're using it. Brings me to the second thought about moderation, which is found in 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. We saw that moderation, there must be a balance and not an excess, but there must also be a yielding or a surrender of your rights. You say, what do you mean? I'm saying that Paul was saying, although he had the power and ability to exercise control over people, he was forbearing that right and instead humbling himself and surrendering his right to be a master in order to be a servant. In order to be a moderate person, to be temperate, I believe that's a fruit of the Spirit, you must be willing to surrender your rights. You see, in America, you have the right to spend as much or as little time with your technology as you want to. But Paul warns us in Galatians 5:13 that we'd better be very careful about how we use that liberty. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but love by service one to another. Or serve one another, excuse me. Maybe some of you are thinking, listen, it's just a smartphone. People check them all the time, and that's just the way it is. And maybe I should just get over it. Or worse, get used to it. But being on it, most of your free time, it just feels wrong. Because it is. I don't want to get used to it. By the way, it's not a generational thing. It's a time stewardship thing. Now, it shouldn't be difficult to reduce the amount of time you spend looking at a screen instead of being with your own thoughts or talking to other human beings face to face. It shouldn't be that challenging, but it is. That's why you have to put the safeguards in place. Be wise. Limit yourself on when you're going to allow yourself those segments of time. Set a timer. Do what it takes to make sure that you're not waking up an hour later realizing another hour of your life that you'll never get back has been wasted in that time vortex of technology. Now, maybe you're not sure if you have a problem. As I mentioned, there are apps that will help you to tell you that you do. And I understand that some of you will put those things in order, and I hope maintain victory. And I'm not saying everyone I'm looking at has a problem with technology addiction, but I'm just telling you it is so prevalent in our society that it's hard not to imagine us all struggling in some way with it. I'm not against technology. We just have to be careful on how and how long we're using it. There's a principle of domination. There's the principle of moderation, And there is a principle of amputation. I want you to turn your Bibles. I want you to see this all the way back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I was going to use this same thought from another text. John Smith pointed me back to this one, and it fit better than the one I was going to use. I appreciate that, brother. Matthew 5, 29 and 30. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people will go for moderation, but what they find out is that it has a bigger grip on them than what they imagine. I'm telling you right now, if you have a problem with technology, if you are addicted to your phone and you never even realize it, you've been swimming with the river and you're just going right along. And when you stop and you say, wait a second, this thing, I don't know if I have a problem or not, and you start swimming the other direction, and you're not going to be like everybody else. You're not going to make the same decisions as everybody else. You're going to start putting some controls in your life to make sure that you're not dominated by this thing. You're going to find out swimming upstream is a whole lot harder than you could have ever imagined. And it may be for some while, and I'm not saying forever, but it could be forever, but I'm saying for some time it may be that you need just to cut it off for just a while. The Lord's not telling us literally to mutilate our bodies here, by the way. Instead, it is characteristic of His figurative and hyperbolic style that He preached with. He is commanding us to take drastic measures to avoid temptations, to keep out of sin, to remove ourselves from anything or anyone that could lead us into a scandalous behavior. By the way, that's the transliteration of the word found in verses 29 and 30, translated offend, scandal. And if you look at this verse a little closer, the Lord is not saying that the immoral sin mentioned in verse 28 is unforgivable. He is setting up a statement of possibility. If it were possible to pluck your eye out to keep you out of hell, would you not do that? Well, we know that plucking your eye out is not going to keep you out of hell, but it's a statement of possibility. He's saying, if it were possible, wouldn't you be willing to do that? The same thing about your right hand. Your right eye for a hunter, that's critical. The right hand for a warrior, that's critical. But it would be better to be without that and be able to go to heaven than it would to have it and be lost. Those are statements of possibility. We know it's not true because the rest of the Bible is clear about that. But the Lord is using that hyperbolic statement to say it is so serious that we ought to get rid of and amputate those things out of our life that will help us to have the blessings of God on our life. What he's saying is radical amputation is better than spiritual desolation. The principle is simple. It's better to do without those things that are of great advantage temporally. This thing is great. It can be used for a force of good. I can get back to emails, all these things that used to take time, it can be a great tool. But if it's misused and abused and it's dominating and you cannot moderate it, then it's better just to amputate it. Don't miss the spiritual blessings that God has for you. Let me put it in the context of what we're talking about today. What have you been missing while you've been spending time with your technology and your Facebook? I don't even know. Are they allowed to be on Facebook here? No, not on campus. You're not going to be on campus here in another week. I'm just wanting you to realize, listen, and I'm not saying it's bad. It's a great way to keep up with family from time to time. But what if you're dominated by it? If there's a game you can't put down, if there's an app that just keeps you coming back for more, it's not an accident. And you're missing out on life. You're missing out on service opportunities. What could you do for your roommate instead of spending an hour wasting it on technology that's not going to help you grow in any way, shape, or form? If it's controlling you, would you be willing to deactivate an account? Let someone else have a password on your phone to prevent you from being able to get in. Would you be willing to move to a flip phone to restrict your availability? That's radical amputation. That's what I'm talking about. That's what the Lord is talking about. Well, I don't have that big of a problem after all. I think I can handle it. I'll just put in some controls. And I hope that would work for you. But if there is a problem there, you're going to have some external help in order to build up the internal muscles, the spiritual muscles of internal controls. In 1976, before much of the technology that we have at our disposal today, there was a group of bank robbers that spent a month digging a tunnel through the sewers of France to get in to one of France's giant and most largest banks, the Riviera branch of France's Société Générale. That's not pronounced French, by the way. And it was a full city block in length, and it was a half a block in length or in width. I'm just saying it was a huge, enormous bank. And they tunneled right in. And one Friday night after the bank closed, they pierced the last 18 inches of reinforced concrete, separating them from an unimaginable, ill-got fortune. When the police arrived on Monday morning, they had to jackhammer through a side wall because they had welded the vault door shut. They'd gotten away with more than $10 million of untraceable notes and gold medallions. By the way, that would be close to $45 million in today's dollars. That's the largest bank heist that I've heard of in history. Not only did the team weld the vault closed, they moved into the vault for the entire weekend. They brought in a ventilation tube. They had brought in fresh air. There's carpeting on the floor. There's electrical cable for electricity. The camp stove was found right outside in the tunnel. And they had opened up 4,000 safe deposit boxes with 27 acetylene torches to get all that money. They left 2,000 pounds of tools were left behind. And on one of the walls of the vault, the leader, later arrested for this, Albert Spiriaggi, he was the mastermind. He wrote on the wall, without weapons, without violence, without hate. Now, they didn't recover the bulk of the money. But can I tell you this morning that Satan is stealing he's stealing something so much more valuable than money. He is stealing your life. Your life. For you see, time is the very fabric of what your life is made. Just like those criminals, technology with their dopamine loop can move in and make themselves at home in your mind, and left unchecked will occupy your life with a meaningless, time-consuming, idol-inducing spiritual coma and steal that which cannot be bought. Time and productiveness for the Lord Jesus Christ. What technological pitfall have you fallen into, young person? You say, I'm doing good, I'm doing fine. Then I'm going to tell you shortly, you're going to be on break. And you're going to have the opportunity to have technology unbridled at your disposal. We put in some controls to make sure that you are moderate and not dominated. We want the principle of moderation. And if it takes amputation, do it. Your relationship with Christ is far more important than your relationship with a device. And if it's not, then we really have some serious problems. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, the principles that are so applicable to our life today. Father, I pray that you would help us to look at our lives. I pray that you will help us to be real with you. Father, maybe there are some that are dominated by technology. It whittles away their life like a thread on a spool. Lord, it'll be unraveled and they won't even have lived a life that is worthy of the life that you've given them. Lord, maybe there's some that are waking up to the fact that they are a little too preoccupied with the technology that's available to them in this world, and they just need to put some restraints and constraints in their lives. I pray that you would help us to make decisions today that would not only be pleasing to you, but they would be lasting and have fruit that remains not just for break, not just for the next semester, but for their lives. This technology is not going away. And so I pray, Lord, help us. Help us to be pleasing unto you.